right, let's just go to Revelations, the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 12. Revelation 12, 10 to 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Right now it's speaking about the last days, and it speaks about the church having victory. But notice something. It says there that they, that's being us, overcame the accuser of the brethren, which is Satan himself, right? That's his nature. He accuses you. When you feel accused, guess what spirit's behind it. But anyway, they overcame him by two things. The blood of the lamb, and the word of their testimony. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word, your precious word, in our hands. May it move from our hands into our minds and into our spirits, O Lord. Holy Spirit, please help us with things that we realize are much bigger than us, but we attempt to attain the best we can do, Lord. So we ask you to help us and give us revelation. Grant us ears to hear. You yourself said, Lord Yeshua, he has ears, let him hear. Having ears doesn't mean that we hear necessarily, but tonight we pray that we will hear, and not only hear, but put into practice. Thank you that the accuser of the brethren cannot stop this word from achieving that for which it was sent, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Now you'll see there, they overcame with the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. Two things. They work together. Now, the Lord gave me a revelation. I don't say it's the end story about this whole thing, but you see, the blood speaks of the covenant that we have with God. Amen. And in a sense, the blood being shed is a done deal. I haven't got time to go into the blood and how we use it in warfare. I have talked about it before. But very often Christians speak about pleading the blood. When we plead the blood, what we are doing is bringing the fact of our salvation and what Christ did on the cross into the picture. If you're in a court of law and you're being accused, arraigned as they call it, you've got a choice. They say to you, do you plead guilty or not guilty? You see? And before the courts of heaven, that choice was always there. Do you plead guilty or not guilty? The danger with that is that if you plead guilty, which we all are, then we get the punishment, you see. The punishment is automatic. But if we plead not guilty, then we're lying because everyone has sinned. So you see, it puts us in a difficult position. But Christ came and he said, now there's another option. You can plead not guilty, but you can plead the blood. You see that? In other words, we all know that we're guilty. We know that we should be punished. If we say we're not guilty to avoid punishment, we'll get punished for lying. So we have the third option. We plead the blood. In other words, we are guilty, but because of the blood, we go scot-free. Can you see that? And can I recommend in every situation where you don't really know how to pray, there's two things you can do. One of them is plead the blood. I mean, you have a person that's a terrible sinner and they're sick. You feel, can God heal them? Does he want to heal them? Must I pray for them? Blah, blah, blah. Don't think about it. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Let God's grace operate in the situation. Amen? If you're in a difficult situation where there's danger around, plead the blood. Plead the blood. All right? And the other thing you can do if you don't know what to pray is just pray in the Spirit. All right? So if you and I are in difficult situations, the one option is to plead the blood or pray in the Spirit or do both. Amen? But I don't want to focus too much on the blood. All right? That speaks about our position in Christ that he's made available. But what does it mean to overcome with our testimony? What does it mean to overcome with our testimony? Now, I'm not saying this is the only revelation is on the subject. I'm sure there's great understanding. But I've come to realize something. The testimony, our testimony, speaks about what we have done with the fact that we've been set free because of the blood. Amen? It's the outworking of being freed by the blood. What is a testimony? Once again, illustration from a court of law. If you are a witness, and you testify, what do? You simply explain what you saw or what you heard. Amen? You simply explain it as witness. That's your testimony. What you personally saw. Car A came through the robot and it was red and collided with car B. That is your testimony. You were there, you're a witness. Can you see that? Well, can I just put it very simply? Your and my testimony, as we've had this evening, is your personal experience. Amen? Your and my personal experience. That's our testimony. Now, please understand something. It implies here that these two things are to be used as a weapon. When you overcome something with something, that with is a weapon. Am I right? If you overcome the enemy with an FN, you use the weapon, right? So you see, in a sense, the blood we know is a weapon against the enemy. An infallible weapon, actually. There's nothing that the devil can do against the blood. I've had occasions where he's chemering me, as they say, and I start to speak the word. And when I start to talk to him about the crucifixion and I get to the blood, he's gone. I mean, so if you have problems with the devil, just have a chat with him and say, listen, you know, you're telling me the cues of the brethren, I'm so bad and all that, blah, blah, blah. You're quite right, I'm bad. But let's go to the cross. And just, you know, let's imagine it. There he is, Christ, the perfect one, dying on my behalf. And just look at the blood. You'll have no more trouble, I can guarantee. But what does it mean to use your and my testimony as a weapon? That's what I want to focus on. Your and my testimony is very powerful, right? Very, very powerful. We've got to understand it. But, as all the great men of weaponry here will tell us, if you've got a powerful weapon, what have you got to know? How to use it, right? Amen. If we don't know how to use it, it can be very dangerous. And I think a lot of people have wrecked the kingdom of heaven, pushing their testimony all over the place. How do we use our testimony? That's what God has just instructed me to speak about with us this evening. Now, let me just say this, that your and my testimony, generally speaking, has three applications, all right? And with every application, the use changes. Does that make sense? If you're going into a particular scenario like a wedding, that's not the time for your shorts and pluckies. It requires dress code, a different application. Whereas on the beach, you will not find me in a three-piece suit. In fact, you'll never find me in a three-piece suit simply because I don't have one. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that we need to know the application. Now, the three general applications of your and my testimony to be used as a weapon, so to speak. Number one is in our own personal life. Amen. Your testimony, your personal experience can do a lot, and my personal experience can do a lot for our faith. Amen. For our faith. Now, we've often spoken about memorials in the past here, but a memorial is something that happened, all right, in the past. And you see, you and I, if we have testimony of the times, as we've heard tonight already, the times God's come through. The time God does something, or where you're in a difficult position and God came through. You see? That is a testimony. And you see the beauty of that testimony. When the devil's on you on my case, that's the time to take out the testimony. You see? Take it out. You know, the times God has delivered us from difficult situation. Now I'm in a difficult situation. The devil says, look, you're not going to get out of this. What can I do? Haha. That's what you said the last time. But let me remind you what happened the last time. Look how God came through. Can you see? That's tremendous help. So please, when God does something, it's good to just make a memorial of it. And later on, make a meal of it. Don't forget about it. It's so easy to forget what God has done, isn't it? Look at the disciples. They had just distributed all that bread. And not 2 weeks later, they say, where are we going to get bread from? You get it? What did they forgot to do? They forgot the testimony. Can you see that? They forgot the testimony. Let me tell you something else about you and my testimony. The testimony of our salvation. Let me tell you something. Something that has helped me to maintain a rock solid faith, despite everything, is the day I got born again. Amen. I didn't even know what happened. All I knew is that my spirit came. Well, I didn't even know that I had a spirit, but I met with God. Bumped into God. I knew He was real. Amen. The devil cannot take that away from me. I can be amongst the worst atheists trying to convince me with all their logic that it can't be possible. God is a figment of the imagination, a creation of humankind. But you know what I've got inside of me? A revelation. I met with the living God. Nobody can take that away. Amen? And can I encourage us as children of God? We found something. A lot of people get saved, but they don't really have that encounter. And that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about that living encounter with the living God. You see. Now, many folk, they, in a sense, creep in. They might go to a crusade, have an emotional experience, but it's not the same thing. I'm not saying every time people go to a crusade, it's an emotional experience. Some people do have a revelation, have a meeting with the living God. But can I just say, it's possible to creep into Christianity, in a sense, on the base of intellectual knowledge and other people and go through the motions. We've seen it so many times. But let me tell you something. If you and I haven't had that personal encounter, very often we don't stand. We don't stand. You see, because you don't have that rock solid testimony to use as a weapon. And what I'd like us to do at the end of this message is, if anybody really wants that experience, we're going to just pray. Okay, in fact, I think we'll pray for everyone just to have that experience. It's very important. Amen. It's very important to have that one-on-one encounter with the living God, and you just know that He's real. You don't live every day with that revelation, but it's in the background. It's a testimony, you see. It's a testimony. And if you have that testimony, let me tell you, I always say this. They could line me up against the wall and put an AK-47 against my head and say, Graham, do you believe there's a God? I'll say, no. Terrified because of my, little life. But in my heart, guess what? I know I'm lying through my teeth. You understand? God willing, I have the courage to say yes. But, I'm just trying to be honest. Can you see that? So I know that. You cannot argue me out of it. It's impossible to argue me out of it because it's way beyond intellect. I have that testimony of a spiritual encounter with the living God. And I'm encouraging us to have it. So you see, a testimony is very powerful to help us keep going. Amen. Very important. Use your testimony. When things look difficult, look back. God saw me through then. Why can't He see me through now? You understand? It's powerful. It's very powerful. It's a weapon against the lies of the devil. Amen. So that's number one. Number two, your and my testimony is very powerful in encouraging the saints. Amen. Do you know that as everybody shared, which is what I wanted here, without you realizing it, without us realizing it, the moment you share that testimony, and without others possibly realizing it, we are building one another's faith. Amen? We're building one another's faith. Talking about the reality of God in our lives. You know that anything you and I do that affirms the presence or the reality of God builds our faith. Amen? Amen. By contrast, anything that doesn't recognize the presence of God destroys our faith. Amen. Not that anybody does in this congregation, but should you happen one day to sin, all right? Is it easy to sin with God looking at you? You see, before you and I can sin, we have to say, God, just look the other way. Am I right? You see, and when we say, God, look the other way, we're saying He's not there. It affects our faith. But I don't want to talk about that now. You see, when you and I share what we've experienced, one with another, we are building up one another's faith. Okay? So the application, when we are with one another, we can share what really happened in our lives. And can I be honest? The more real the testimony, the more it builds somebody up. Amen? The more, how shall I say, day to day. You see, the thing about this whole Christianity is it can get a bit theoretical and airy-fairy. But when you and I speak about day-to-day activities, day-to-day things that happen in the real world, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And we don't realize it because we take it for granted. But we shouldn't, you see. When you and I share our testimony with the brethren, right? You know what we're doing? We're building everybody's faith. We are using that testimony of ours as a weapon against unbelief in our brothers and sisters' hearts. Can you see that? Protecting them from unbelief. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? You see, we think we just happen to get our tickets sorted out so that, you know, we paid the same price to go halfway across Europe. We think, oh, well, you know, that's wonderful. That's God. Amen? That's God. And if God can do that for one man, He can do so much more for everybody else. Can you see that? Once again, using our testimony as, in a sense, a weapon. But please note something. When we use it as a weapon in this sense, we're not shooting our brothers and sisters. We're shooting unbelief. Can you see that? We're shooting unbelief. We're trying to shoot unbelief in the foot, in our midst. And the more time you and I spend with others that are continually sharing testimonies, the more it will build our faith. So that's why it's so important not to forsake the gathering of the saints. As we always keep saying, what happens when we gather with the saints? Automatically our spirit man is empowered. Our faith level rises, empowers us to face what's out there. And as you all know, what's out there is not very pleasant very often. Amen. But now, the next area for using our testimony is when we are dealing with unbelievers. Right? And here we need to exercise caution. Please understand something. When you and I are sharing testimonies in the presence of unbelievers, all right, it's different from when we're with one another. And I'll explain why. You see, we have to use this weapon slightly differently. And if we don't understand that, we can mess up big time. You see, you and I can share all of this with one another here, and we all know that it's true. But you go into an environment where there are a whole lot of unbelievers, and you start blabbing about, I prayed this and God did this, and then, you know, this happened, and they all say, oh, please, dear God, please not this one again, you know, get this holy jar out of my presence. Do you understand? You want to be very careful with this. Because of the power of the testimony doesn't mean that we have the license to blab. Okay? Now, please understand something. There is power in the testimony, and I need to explain it, especially in dealing with unbelievers. The devil has worked overtime so that the intellectual climate as we know it right now is based on subjectivity. It's all relative. Do you understand? Okay. If you want to believe in the Lord Jesus, you're welcome. Carry on. It's your right. But me, no, I'm Hare Krishna. It's my right. Well, for your information, Hare Krishna, Hare Kari is not going to help you when you die. But anyway, that's your choice. But you see, now the problem is, you and I want to present the gospel, and in the good old days, everybody knew the Bible was right, and you know, and you started to preach, as it were. Well, they probably didn't listen to you, but they didn't say, well, shut up because you've got your own thought. You see, the truth of the matter is, in our society now, because everything is subjective and relative, you cannot argue with anybody. You see, no matter how good your argument is, and the Christian argument can't be beaten logically, actually. I mean, what boy says there? Come from an ape or to come from Almighty God? Okay? It's impossible. But anyway, let's not go there. The point is, you can't argue logically. All right? You can't. Because people just say, oh, well, that's what you believe. Wonderful. Amen? Isn't that right? They would say, oh, that's what you believe. Keep it to yourself. In other words, don't trouble me. I want to believe what I want to believe. Amen. But let me tell you something. Right there, the power comes in of the testimony. See? Because the testimony is subjective. It's what's happened to me. Can you see that? It's my personal experience. And let me tell you something. If you and I can have a personal experience to share, they can't argue with that. Am I right? I've been in a situation and people are talking about God, and I just say, listen, you know, I've experienced God for myself. And go, no, that's about you. And it's fine. Don't worry. I personally have experienced God. So what you say is rubbish. Can you see the power of my testimony? They cannot argue with my subjective experience because they want to believe their subjective experience. Do you get it? That's the power of the testimony. Now, let me tell you something. If you and I share a testimony, we may not get instantaneous results, but let me tell you something. He's sowing a very powerful seed. All right? A very powerful seed, especially when it comes to real life issues like health. You might be in a situation where people are saying, oh, there's no God, blah, blah, blah. Now, you see, if you have a testimony where you're diagnosed third degree cancer, whatever, and somebody laid hands on you and you were miraculously healed, you can share that. They'll say, oh, that was just, you know, something we don't understand, blah, blah, blah. Possibly. But let me tell you something. That seed is sown. And one day, maybe, when that person, and this has happened so many times, goes to the doctor for a diagnosis, and the doctor puts on a deadpan face and says to him, "Mr. X, sorry to tell you, but there's cancer in your prostate gland." And then eventually comes to the place where, "Mr. X, I'm afraid we've done everything we can, medical science, but at best you've got 3 months to live." Right then, what will trigger in his mind? You understand? And just maybe, the power of your and my testimony. All right? But now please, this is where it gets a bit tricky, because we have to be cautious. As I said, having a testimony. Now, obviously it goes without any explanation that the more testimonies we have, the more personal experience we have with the living God, the more we can actually help other people. Does that make sense? You don't have to get cancer before you have a testimony. We're talking about everyday affairs. All right? If you and I are living with the living God, we should have testimonies all the time, which is happening here already. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You understand? So if we have a wealth of experiences with God, that doesn't mean every time we get together with people, we have to blab about all our experiences, right? That's not what we're saying here. You see, when you and I are in the presence of people that are unbelievers, as I've said, just to go blabbing about all your testimonies to try and impress them is going to cause more trouble than it's going to solve. However, please note, if we have our ear to the ground, so to speak, and we're in conversation, the opportunity may very well come up where the issue at hand matches a testimony that we have had. Can you see that? Where the issue at hand matches a testimony that we've had. And that's the time to just put it out there. Does everybody get that? That's the power of using a testimony as a weapon. I'll never forget, you know, I was at the school there and they didn't even talk to me about it. They saw me as some sort of sucker, I think. But we have a staff meeting. The headmaster gets up and says, "Well, we're organizing a medical aid scheme and Mr. Barlin is going to be in charge of it." I thought, good God, what? You know, of all people on this earth to organize a medical aid scheme, they chose the wrong person. So I did what I could, which was nothing. Anyway, that blew over. And I don't know what happened to everybody's medical aid scheme, but I was working at the computer in the staff room. And this one teacher came to me and he said, "What do you do about a medical aid?" And this is the time for my testimony. Do you get it? I didn't go and tell him about this and push it on him. I'm busy doing my own thing. He came and said, "What do you do about a medical aid scheme?" Without even batting an eyelid, "I don't bother." He said, "What? You don't bother?" "No," I said, "the word of God is more than enough for me." Now, nothing happened right there. He didn't fall down on his knees and repent. You know, understand? And I said, "It can work for you as well." I didn't say anything else. I left it at that. Now, the man thinks, obviously, that, you know, Mr. Barlin is demented. But let me tell you, I placed in his heart a seed. A seed. Maybe one day he'll think, you know what, there's an alternative to this mess. Because let me tell you, as teachers, if anybody's been a teacher in the government school, you'll know that to try and live off that salary and to pay for a medical aid is virtually impossible. You can't do it. And it's getting worse and worse. You see? Worse and worse. I don't know what the medical aids are going to do with this whole COVID thing. I'm surprised that none of them have gone bankrupt yet. But anyway, it's not my problem. But what I'm trying to get at is, you see, with a testimony, you've got to use it with wisdom. Amen? Remember, when we speak about gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit, gentleness is power under control. The other translation is that word meekness. Not weakness. It's power under control. Let me tell you, if you and I have a life rich in testimonies, we've had financial miracles. We've had a protection miracle. We've had healing miracles. We've had human relations miracles, you see. We have a life rich in testimonies. We are strong in the area of testimony. So when we come to somebody and there's a need and they are unbelievers, if you start sprouting off about the gospel and the Bible, they'll say, "Oh, please, that book doesn't really mean anything. like my brother says, it was written by, what does he say? Bronze Age agriculturists. You see, he's thinking Bronze Age agriculturalists. Well, it wasn't, for information. It was written by intellectuals, it was written by kings, shepherds. Two of them were Bronze Age, you know, agriculturalists. But it was written by some of the finest intellects the world's ever seen. Solomon, one of them. But you see, in his mind, what good is a book that's written by Bronze Age agriculturists to me now, living in the 21st century? You see? So in the presence of people, and this thinking is becoming more and more common. You understand? But people have the same issues wherever they are. Personal issues, relationship issues, financial issues, health issues, fear issues. You understand? People are people. The world is the same for everybody. And we've got the answer. We've got the answer. But how do we now distribute the answer, you see? In the form of testimony. A testimony. Somebody says, you know, I'm having such problems with my marriage. And you say, you know, I had problems very similar to you. Really? What did you do about it? You see, right there, what have you got? An opportunity to share a testimony. You don't say, oh, well, the Bible says you must do this and then it'll come right. Or, you understand? Just hit them, take the gospel. I've got a nice big Bible. Come to me, I'll just give you a good smack of this to sort all your trouble out. Where does that get you? You see, we're not taking the word of God and breaking it down in a format that people in the world can just grasp. You see? And that's the power of the testimony. We're presenting the gospel in a form that they can be swallowed. Does everybody get this? You see? That doesn't mean, you know, whenever you get to people and in the staff meetings, oh, God did this for me, I prayed for this. And somebody says, oh, we had something happen over there. Oh, yes, I prayed for that. That was me, I prayed for that. God heard my prayer. God heard my prayer. Is that a testimony? That's a pain in the backside. Amen? And God hasn't called us to be that. Now, you hearing me? Be careful of that. Be careful of saying, oh, I prayed about that. And that's when you pray in your closet, and if God answers, you just keep your lips zip. Okay, otherwise God won't ask you to pray for nothing else. Your prayers won't be heard. Are you all hearing me? So you see, let's understand the power of the testimony. When we get together, realize, even as simple as the testimony might be, I prayed and the headache went away. Somebody has a headache later on in the week, they remember that testimony. Let me just pray. Get it? We're all doing that all the time. We get together, we just have an abundance, a richness of testimony. We can share, building one another up. Use your testimony for your own faith. Things that have happened in your life that are real to you. Don't forget them. When the devil comes, bring them up. Bring them up. The devil says, I've got you this time. Turn around and say, that's what you said the last time. I'm going to beat you this time too. You see, carry on like that, and before long, guess what? He'll move next door, which is what we don't want for the neighbors, but it's good for us. Amen. So maybe the neighbors will come in and say, we had the answer. We had the same problem with the same individual. This is what you do. Amen. Praise God. Bless God. Isn't it wonderful that we can overcome with what? The power of the blood. Amen. Because of his grace, but also because of our personal living experience. And my prayer is that every one of us here will continue to have more and more living experiences with the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.